Mr. Banker Goes to Washington.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. President Obama meets this morning with Wall Street bankers. The president had a similar meeting back in March. At that meeting, there was discussion about repayment of bailout money and executive compensation. But there are new issues this time around, as Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson reports.
Nearly all of the bankers at today's meeting have already paid back the government for last year's bailout. Now President Obama needs a favor from them, more lending to small businesses and consumers. Former investment banker Douglas Elliott is a fellow at the Brookings Institution.
The administration needs to show yet again that they care about the recession, they care about unemployment, and that they recognize that small business is a key to getting employment back on its feet.
The president may also use the meeting to urge bankers to get on board with financial regulatory reform, though Elliott says he could have done all this by phone.
There's nothing that will be accomplished in this meeting that couldn't have been accomplished in other ways. It just makes it more visible.
That's the polite way to put it. A banking analyst I spoke with put it another way. It's all for show, he said. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
Citigroup wants to show it can pay back bailout money. Reports are it's nearing a deal to begin repaying its share of billions of dollars in government aid. Checking stocks, world markets are off and running. European shares are in the green, between a half a percent and a percent right now. Investors are relieved there's some resolution in Dubai's debt problem. Abu Dhabi, its neighbor, agreed to finance $10 billion to cover the huge debts there. Asian markets closed mostly higher. Stocks in Hong Kong and Shanghai were up. The Nikkei saw a small loss. Wall Street Friday, stocks were a bit flat or up. The Nasdaq went nowhere. The S&P added about a third of a percent. The Dow tacked on 65 points to close at 10,471. For the week, the Dow added just under a percent, the second weekly gain. It's the third week of being on the plus side for the S&P. The Nasdaq retreated a few points last week, though. Delegates are gathering for the final and the critical week of the climate change summit in Copenhagen. More than 100 world leaders are due to arrive there on Thursday. They're expected to put their seal on a new international agreement to fight global warming. But as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports, many differences there remain.
The negotiators here are agreed on one thing. Time is running out and they don't yet have a deal. All the key sticking points are still firmly in place. The poor countries want much more aid money to help them adapt to climate change. Wealthier, developing countries like China and India are calling for deeper emission cuts by the industrialized world. They want the US and Europe to pump out much less of the heat-trapping gases believed to cause global warming. But the US and Europe say the big developing economies must play their part. They're growing so fast, they must curb their emissions too. With only 3 days to go before the leaders arrive, the heat is on. The deadline for a deal is looming. In Copenhagen, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America. 1 year into a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low to moderate income communities. And is distributed by American Public Media. For information about underwriting this or other APM programs such as Marketplace Money, visit AmericanPublicMedia.org.
Congress continues to debate health care reform, and one of the proposals on the table to help pay for it is this tax on expensive health insurance plans. They're called Cadillac plans because of how much they cost, and not necessarily what the cost buys you. Sponsors say it could bring insurance costs down, but not all Cadillacs are equipped alike. Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan is with us now. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Steve.
So if we're talking about taxing on premiums and not necessarily what you get from those premiums, I mean, who's that serving?
Well, it's serving a political point because the senators who proposed it can say that they're taxing only the rich and miraculously pay for the health care plan. That's the stated reason, and it also drives down costs. In reality, I think it's a question of just pretending that only the rich will be affected, and they haven't really thought it through.
Do you think this is going to give enough of a disincentive to stop people from buying into these really expensive plans?
No, because you're not going to have a choice. A calculation I did shows that if the 100 United States senators were, in fact, their own plan, because their average age is something like 63 or 64, they pay a tax like the end of the world. But because they're part of the federal workforce, they're not subject to the tax because the workforce is much younger than the senators. There are all of these unanticipated consequences where the people you would think would get whacked won't get whacked. And maybe some eight-person company that's had a problem because some individual had an expensive disease and next year the premiums go up. A lot of people who don't have anything you would consider lush could end up being hurt by this thing because of the way it's drawn.
If the end game, Alan, is to bring costs and drive premiums down, how do we get there?
Well, if I knew that, you could be sure I'd be a consultant and so rich, I wouldn't tell you. But I think you have to look at the system a whole different way that it's being looked at. You have to say, gee, what's wrong? And part of the problem is that doctors are scared to death of malpractice and order a whole lot of tests you probably don't need. You need really a system where someone is in charge of someone's health and can make intelligent decisions. And the idea being to get people better, not to game the system. Now I suspect that will happen sometime after there is peace on earth and goodwill to man.
Well, we can only keep our fingers crossed, right?
Right.
Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan with us today. Alan, thanks.
You're welcome, Steve.
And finally, there are a lot of people who are superstitious, but would you believe Stephen King, the author best known for his fictional horror, donated money so 150 soldiers from the Maine National Guard can be home for the holidays, just enough to cover the cost of a couple of bus trips so that members who were sent to Indiana can return home. The guardsmen are expected to ship off to Afghanistan next month. King and his wife pitched in $12,999, just shy of $13,000, a figure King said would be a bit unlucky. His personal assistant chipped in another buck. Hey, check us out online. Our host and blogger, Scott Jagow, awaits your thoughts at marketplace.org. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.